continuity of facts. Iron. The substance we work with, the substance that we watch rust in a lot of fields as we drive by it, something that we think we understand quite well, something that we played with as a kid, if you remember those paperclip magnet type classroom activities where we began to understand what a magnetic field actually was. It is a great example of the importance of input and how facts change. Because it turns out iron's magnetism is doubling every 5 years. For an element that we would think we completely understand, we've been working with for hundreds of years. So what's changing? Well, we're not getting closer to the Earth's core. What's happening is technology is improving. We're making more pure iron. This has led to a shift in the basic principles of what iron is and the knowledge surrounding it. A change in facts. A change in the continuity of the facts that we understand about iron. So if something as common and as understood as iron can fundamentally change every 5 years, why shouldn't we expect other facts, such as our medical knowledge, professional development knowledge, or any knowledge in general, to change regularly as well? So stay tuned, O2ers, as we talk about other revelations on why you need to continuously have input in your life to help you stay on the right side of the half-life of facts. So the real challenge is, how do veterinarians like us, who don't have the time, resources, or financial backing of a multi-million dollar company, who are faced with irregular work schedules, on calls, and emergencies, how can we facilitate our own personal and professional growth so we can continue to offer superior service to our clients while still remaining competitive in today's market? That is the challenge, and this podcast will provide you the roadmap to its solution. I'm your host, Dr. Eric, and welcome to Operators to Owners. Welcome back, OTRs. Today, we're going to talk about why Operators to Owners preaches input as an important step in the four steps of professional development. Those four steps being input, thought, action, and reflection. The reason that I preach input and why it is so important is because we have to be continuously growing. And the mentality that I have behind this was reinforced very well by a book I read recently, The Half-Life of Facts by Sam Arbuthnot. I highly recommend you go and pick it up. In this book, Sam presents a thesis that facts can change in many ways, and that the undeniable truth about facts is that every fact has a half-life, and those half-lives obey mathematic principles. What this means is that we can measure an expected change duration for each fact, and we know that what we learn will be out of date or false every few years. Our facts will change. The other thing that we understand is that the distribution of fact change, that is, when facts change, how easily it gets out into the public and how easily they begin to adopt a new fact, is hampered by human networks and our own internal biases. So in this book, Sam argues that we need to be cognizant of the fact that what we know is always changing. We need to understand that the half-life of facts in many fields is only as good as 9 years. For example, in physics, the half-life of a fact is 13 years. Economics, 9. Math, 9. Psych, 7. History, 7. Religion, 9. That means on average, every 9 years, you've achieved a half-life of facts in a field. So what causes this change? Why do we need to continue to have great input? Why are our facts changing so rapidly? And there are 6 major causes. First, discovery. Basically, we innovate or find something new, and that innovation causes us to have a new understanding of what is actually true. Second, facts change because we begin to see idea connections. Our human networks that may span multiple different areas of specialties connect ideas between those two different areas, causing a revolution in those facts and changing what we understand. Third, we see the correction of errors. Basically, things that we misunderstood before, but we now identify were incorrect before. Interestingly, in this section, Sam discusses a study that found that only 20% of citations in scientific articles were actually read by the author, which makes it very apparent that it's very easy for us as scientists referring to this type of literature to be biased by simply accepting those citations as true, reinforcing the hypothesis of that particular paper or research. I thought that was particularly interesting for why facts might not actually be true. Fourth, the change we see in improved measures. For example here, really interesting story in this book that I'll sum for you. When the meter was invented, it was initially measured as 1/10 millionth of the distance between the equator and the North Pole. Ironically, at that point, nobody had gone to the North Pole yet. So it was a very inaccurate measure. But over time, this particular distance became better defined. Eventually, they took an iridium and a platinum bar and cast it into a meter long. But what they found is as we needed to create with more precision, atmospheric variance in pressure caused this bar to enlarge or shrink, meaning a meter wasn't truly a meter continuously. So ultimately today, our definition of meter is based on the speed of light. But what we can see is the improved measurement over time here with a meter, which changes what we can hold as a true fact. It changes what the true length of a meter actually is, simply because we got better at measuring it. The fifth way that facts can change are the breaking of biases. We all have our own blind spots, our own biases towards certain facts. When we identify them and are able to break them, the facts in our mind change. And this is something that we preach a lot about. And you can go back and look at some of my heuristics YouTube videos or some of the heuristics podcasts if you really want to start to understand how biases are affecting how you perceive facts. And finally, the sixth way that facts can change is the breaking of generations. And what happens here is that when we're kids, we learn a lot about a lot of different things. But as we grow up, we begin to specialize in those things. We begin to specialize in a specific area. So that means that the progression of our knowledge in the areas of generality that we learned as a kid stop. So we assume that the facts we know to the point where they stopped are true. But that's not necessarily the case. And a lot of times we don't identify this incorrect fact until we begin to teach a next generation. Until we begin to look at, was this really a species? Or is that how you really do this math? All those things that make us as parents shake our head and go, that's not true, or that's really changed since I was a kid, is the breaking of the generalities, of the understanding, of the basic understanding of facts that we learned as kids, and the continuing education of ourselves as we teach the next generation. Now, all of these changes are confounded by our own personal fact pool. And that's why we need good inputs in a powerful network to remain relevant in our facts. Now, there's lots of good research in this book as well about why you need a really good network. But we'll go over, again, six things that I think are really important for you guys to understand about how networks can play into the inputs and the professional development that you can have. The first example is a Harvard Medical School study that showed that when you looked at authors on papers, the closer those two authors were, whether they lived closer or worked closer, the higher the impact of the research they did from their collaborations. NextSAM showed that interdisciplinary research, or the linking of common ideas from one area where a fact is known to be commonplace and readily understood, to another area where it's less understood or hasn't been applied, it's a great way for us to remain relevant in our facts. It's a great way for us to push forward professionally. Next is just simple networking. And in the book, Sam talks about the advent of the printing press. And what they did in the study, where they looked at networking and the impact of that type of innovation, was that they found that as the printing press spread across Europe, it actually spread through these Germanic different populations. And in fact, the apprentices of these printing press owners, the apprentices of these printers, were responsible for the spread of these presses, because the press didn't really spread, you know, via osmosis across all of Europe. It spread in these little nodes where these Germanic apprentices chose to live that had links originally to Gutenberg. So they showed that the importance of having that tie to the initial fact meant that you would be able to remain relevant or even ahead of the general populace. Next, Sam talked about community. And basically, that the larger the community you're in, the more ideas that you're exposed to, the more innovation and creation that happens. For example, they found in cities, the larger the city grows, the more patents that are applied for. But you would think that'd be a linear relationship, but it's not. It's more of a logarithmic type relationship. So basically, bigger groups add more power to creation, innovation, and fact spread. Now, the last two areas that you need to understand to be relevant in facts are a little bit more related to the individual and a little bit related to what we do at Operators to Owners. The first is the Hawthorne effect, where individuals, when they're singled out, and they found this in research, and are observed, they found that those individuals actually increase their productivity. So if you can find a way in which you can stand out, in which others will look up to you, something like where you're sitting there and talking in a mastermind and sharing your ideas, what you'll find is you'll be able to improve your productivity and improve how your mind is kind of open to the things going on around you. The next or final way that you can remain relevant in facts is become a questioner. And what that means is question why you're doing what you're doing. Question why your practice is doing what you're doing. And what this does is it prevents theory-induced blindness, or in essence, it prevents you from being sucked into groupthink. And I've talked about that recently at the AABP recent grad convention. But questioners question why they believe what they believe, and it forces them to remain relevant in their facts. Now, I would argue that one of the most relevant fact refreshers that you guys can talk about, or that you can use in this book, is a theory. It's related to the network theory that we talked about earlier with the Gutenberg printing press. But this is a theory proposed by Mark Granovetter and Jukka-Pekka Onnela. Now, in this theory, they discuss how the facts that we hold are dependent on our social triangles. So imagine three dots in the shape of a triangle, and each dot has a different connection strength. One or two dots are connected strongly, two dots are connected weakly, and two dots are connected by a medium attraction. What these authors argue is that when we think about facts and ideas, strong connections between individuals and social triangles and networks cause us to have inbred facts. These connections represent things like family or close friends. When we have those types of connections, we generally have them with individuals with similar educational or informational backgrounds. That means that the facts that are exchanged between those individuals are inbred or about the same. Now, the individuals in this triangle model with a weak connection have too weak of a connection to share facts. Think of this like a drug rep or a coworker you don't work routinely with. Somebody that you're going to exchange pleasantries with, but probably aren't going to share a scientific paper or a crazy idea with. What they found is that these weak connections aren't strong enough to bear the weight of new facts being spread. So instead, what they said, if you really want to be good at amplifying your inputs, really want to be good at staying relevant with your facts, you need medium connections. The type of connection that is with a fellow professional that you feel is at the same level. The type of professional conversations that can push you forward. The connections that you would say, I'll share a scientific paper or research or a technique across. With those connections, you can convey information and have different enough facts between the individuals that the knowledge transfer between them can be facilitated. And this, in essence, is what we try to do at OTO. So obviously, The Half-Life of Facts by Sam Arbuthnot proves why we need recurrently good inputs. We need to be sure that we're watching out for changes in our facts. We need to understand how we can harness things like our network or in our community, in our own personal biases to remain relevant in our facts. But if we really want to have some really powerful professional progress, the best way to do that is through a strong network, right? We don't want this to be necessarily the strong connections. We need those. But for knowledge transfer, we need those medium connections. We need the professional connections that facilitate that knowledge transfer. And that's what we try to do here at Operators Donors. That's why I push this mastermind concept so much. What we want to do here is create these connections between you and other vets on a stronger level. So it's no longer this weak connection where you generally know that individual's name or you know about their practice. And instead, we want to expose you to each other at a higher level, allowing you to transfer the ideas, whether it's a professional business sense or a medical journal or a medical technique or even a personal management technique. We want to help you get to the point where you have a medium strength connection and can share those facts and tools with each other. And that's in essence what the mastermind can do for you. So if you're interested in seeing how masterminds play into the improvement of your inputs, if you're interested in accelerating your growth professionally, step on up to the operatorsandowners.com/Facebook group. Keep your eyes open. Again, in June and again in September and November, we're going to be launching the free USDA-funded masterminds. So I highly encourage you guys to come along. But in the meantime, check out our newsletter. You can sign up at the website as well for that. But keep taking in new inputs. Keep making sure that you're accounting for how your facts could change. Keep making sure that you're staying relevant in your facts and breed that network of medium strength ties that will create a new environment for your thinking. I'll leave you one last quote from the book, OTRs. If everlasting knowledge were the measure of being a scientist, then no one would want to be a scientist. Sam Arbuthnot. Thanks for tuning in today, OTRs. And now, until next time, carry on.
If you liked this content and want more, join our OTO community at otovets.com/Facebook. Also, check out our blog at otovets.com/blog. Please join our community for an active discussion about today's podcast, past podcasts, and other topics within veterinary medicine. Thanks again for joining us today, OTOers, and carry on.